Well, hey there, boys and girls. And we're back for another Radio Fishing. We got Captain Dwayne French on the line. And Dwayne's going to be giving us a little offshore report. So we're going to kind of get right to the report and the heck with all this nonsense. Hey, Dwayne, what's up, buddy?
What's going on, guys? I hope everything's good there at the shop. Fishing's been pretty good offshore here lately. Get in between the rain and the wind, but the snapper bite's been real good, guys. So I don't know what.
Well, I got Captain Mike. Mike. Captain Greg sitting here, and I was don't know why I was thinking Mike, but Captain Greg's here too. You say the snapper bite's been pretty good out there.
Yes, sir. The snapper bite's been real good. We've been limiting it out on pretty much on our snapper across the board every trip here lately.
So what's the tastiest? What's the tastiest snapper you've been running into?
Everybody's got their preference. I mean, we've been catching quite a few yellowtails, quite a few lanes, and then, of course, our limit on our mangroves.
I'm glad you didn't give that girl's name up in Punta Gorda, we know.
We stay away from that. That gets us in trouble.
Okay, and now you know Captain Greg is here. Yes. So, anyway, how far out do you find in the snappers? I'm hearing they're fairly close.
Actually, a lot of guys are fishing a little closer. We're making that run. We're running out around 30 miles and working our way back in. We're getting a little better quality fish, you know, more average around 3 pounds or so.
Wow.
Versus your 10, 12-inch snapper that they're catching a little closer.
Yeah, those pictures you put up the other night were really good. I was like, wow. Of course, the day we were out, I didn't seem to recall having that good a result.
Well, we had to throw Captain Greg's rod in the water when he went just to slow him down a little bit. You know how that goes.
Well, you know, there is such a thing as an albatross. You know, they do follow that boat when you put that big one on the back of it. But
right.
What are you finding for grouper out there? We still got some grouper time left, and a lot of people are talking about grouper.
Grouper's been real well. Not a problem there as well. We can go out and do plenty of red grouper, and we can get those in the same areas, you know, same distance. The further you go, of course, the better the fish is going to be. The closer you get, the smaller they're going to be.
Well, how's the gag grouper doing out there?
We're catching a few. I mean, we're not really targeting them. People right now are trying to get their freezers full before the 4th when they shut the red grouper down. So they're really wanting to get their limits. And it's a little different fishery there versus the gags and the reds. You know, we can fish that good hard bottom and catch plenty of red grouper. We need to find our structure and ledges for the gags. Seems like to be the best scenario for those. But we have been bringing a couple in each trip.
Let's drop into this for just a minute. We'll do a little business here. How do people find you?
There's several ways. They can get a hold of us at our regular cell number, which is a 941-628-2348. Or they can go to our website, which is www.sportfishingplacida.com as well, or any of our other ones if they already know them as monstertarpon.com or realactioncharter.com. And they can contact us, see some of the recent catches caught right there, get an idea of what goes on during our day. We normally run like a 6-hour trip, a 9-hour trip, a 12-hour trip, and then we do the special 24, 36-hour trips for some of those guys that are just real hardcore.
Well, one thing, if nobody's ever experienced night fishing in the Gulf, once you light up the water and stuff, it's spectacular. You're sitting out there and you've got fish, and when you get passably lucky doing it, you can be, literally sit there with a spinning rod and say, I want to catch that grouper and toss to it, or that snapper, and actually cast right at it, because as you light the water all up and you do some chumming, they come up from the bottom and they're within a few feet of the surface. And I always found a grouper fights more like a cross between a redfish and a snook when you hit them close to the surface.
For their first instincts to head back down for the rock. You know, they want to find a place to get into, but one, no matter if they're shallow or you get them off the bottom, you know. The snapper are a little bit more easier to pick out what you want, especially once you get them clouded up behind the boat. And you drop that bait into that free lining chum you've got working through the water column. The snappers seem to be more cooperative than the grouper most of the time, anyhow. For me, some people have different luck.
Yeah, well, what's the best red grouper bait going right now?
We've found in the last 6 or 8 trips, we've found that the cut bait has been probably your best bait, to be honest with you. Sardines or your squid or the squid wings carry that at the shop work real good.
That squid wing, we started selling it, and we'd have guys come back saying, well, this is rotten, it's not good, this stinks, and you're trying to explain to them that's because it's raw, unwashed squid versus the stuff you get in a box that's already had soap and water on it. It's been cleaned up, being prepped so that you could actually eat it. And the squid wings, that's those big 6-foot Humboldt squid, and it's just as nasty raw squid as you can get. And that's what really makes a good bait. And it goes from real thick to thin, so you can make it into chunks or trailers or anything.
That's what I was putting on that jig.
Correct. That's what Greg was using the day we was at him out, and he had the jig going.
Yep. Had that jig on there with a squid wing cut strip on there. Throw that out there. Man, they're all over it.
We call that organic squid. It hasn't been processed. We're good to go. It's all organic that way.
That's right. Organic squid, you know, and it's vegetarian friendly.
There you go.
Exactly.
Now, all natural.
Now, you got your big boat up and running now, so what boat is it you're using to go offshore with?
We've got the new piece to the fleet now, which is at a 42-foot Hatteras.
That's a 14.5-foot
beam. Plenty of pictures of it on the website. You're more than welcome to take a look there. We've even got a few pictures of both the staterooms and the head for the ladies. It's got a shower and a toilet. It's got it all for them. So,
well, if you bring your kids, it's actually got a TV and video games.
TV, Xbox, stereo, a couple of those. It's set up to enjoy yourself with the 3 air conditioners on board that keeps you cool. If you get hot, you walk inside, kick back, watch some TV, and cool off.
Well, that's actually pretty cool altogether. So, anyway, but the offshore fishing right now is actually pretty good. It's slowing, or it's getting better by the day, because I'm hearing the Gulf temp is dropping half a degree, almost daily and weekly. It's getting a little bit cooler.
Yesterday, we were in about 85-degree water, 85.7, 85.5, something in that range. So the water is dropping, and as the fall progresses here and winter gets a little closer, as we all know, these gag grouper are going to move a little closer, and then the reds are going to move further out.
Yep.
So, you know, it'll work to our advantage at least through December till they close them in December on the gags. At least they will be a little closer
3rd,
for
I
it.
Think that is.
Yeah.
Now, correct.
When you're out there, are you seeing anything for any kind of Spanish mackerel, king mackerel, amberjack, anything else going on?
Last couple trips, we've seen quite a few of the big jacks, you know, the 20-pound Jack Carvel, and then we've had quite a few bonitas showing up around the boat. I haven't seen many of the kingfish lately. You know, it's been a little slow year for the kingfish for some reason.
Well, how about the big reds?
I haven't seen the big reds, and those reds will start migrating usually sometime next month in October.
That's the guy in this morning showed me a picture. He picked up a 48-incher right at the pass.
And yesterday. That's very possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
we're hearing a lot of these big redfish right along the shoreline. I mean, literally casting distance from the beach. And I was just wondering if you were seeing them out. About a month ago, they'd seen some big schools out there in that 20, 30-mile range out. Just wondering if they were still out there or have they moved in. It's about a month early, but it's actually getting a lot closer. It's the end of September, so
correct.
Usually I figure October, November, but it is the end of September, and all that rain in the Gulf, I think, cooled it down enough to maybe bring those redfish up, because we're getting a few in the harbor, not thick yet, but we're getting a few.
Well, and then the beaches, again, they're full of whitebait. you know, a lot of 3-inch white bait. I mean, you can literally go outside a little Gasparilla Pass or out of Booker Grand Pass and hit one in bars out there.
Steve.
And, I mean, throw the net one time and you have 1,000 head of white bait. Just be careful throwing 3/8 or 1/2 inch. You're going to wind up with a net full of Christmas tree baits, and then you're going to lose an hour of your time cleaning your mess up.
Hook it on the back cleat and drag it behind the boat. That'll clean it right up.
That's it, good. You can play like you're a stripper. That's no problem.
Okay. So,
I think you taught me that trick, D.
I know nothing. I plead the fifth to anything you attach my name to.
Now, here's one of the things. You've also been doing some inshore trips, and you're actually quite famous on the tarpon. What's going on right now with the tarpon? I was talking to Robert about it, and tarpon fishing seems to be a harbor event. Anything going on out there on the coast?
There's a sporadic fish here and there up and down the beach. If you're really serious about it, you need to be up in the harbor. There's a lot better numbers of fish. And they're running all the way up to Myakka there as well.
They're back in the Peace River again now. They were up there real heavy like a week or so ago with the tilapia run, and then they kind of disappeared. Well, now the last couple nights with all this rain, they've showed back up. You look out there at the river by Harbor Heights, it looks like Boca Grande Pass in the spring. They're rolling everywhere.
Right. They're all feeding on them freshwater tilapia coming down over them dams and stuff with this rain we've had, which we all know we've had some rain.
Oh, yeah.
I think down south
they had 4 inches yesterday. So.
Yeah, well, the river's up. It was 9 feet and rising in Arcadia. I think the Girl Scout camp floods at 7 foot. So
13.87 at Zolfo Springs this morning and rising. So.
Yep.
So we got a while where the harbor's going to be pretty dark, but
and fresh.
From what they're saying, I know you do a lot of tarpon trips, but they're talking about right now drifting cut bait, one on a bobber, one free line, and just kind of drifting for them, because if you can see one roll and then just drift because they're moving so much, it doesn't make any sense to try to go from, you know, actually spot them. The water's too dirty, so they're just talking about drifting with cut bait.
That will be your best shot at them this time of year, Frank. You know, you just have to be patient, and that's where a lot of people have a lot of problem with that issue. You have to have the time, be willing to sit there, soak those baits, and do a little drifting, even use your trolling motor if there's not much breeze. But here lately, we haven't had a problem with a breeze. So just drift through where you've seen those fish and then go back up above them and make another drift through. And if you are persistent with that, you will catch a fish. You know, just don't give up because you sit out there for an hour or maybe two and don't get a bite, because the minute you go to leaves when they're going to start eating. And a lot of that's determined with the tide change, you know, with that bait. You watch that bait moving through the harbor. There is some bait up that way a little bit. Once you get down toward the Dog Leg and things of that nature to the south of that. So, first we want to look for your bait. Something they've got to have something to hold them in that area to begin with. If there's no groceries, they're not going to stay.
Well, I think that's, you know, the basis behind any fish. If there's nothing to eat, they're out of there.
Exactly. Kind of like you and I. We didn't get old and fat by not eating.
Well, I actually, since I've been sick for quite a while here, I'm sitting at 170, so I really can't do the fat part anymore. I'm just old and feeble, you know. I went from old and fat to old and feeble.
And gray.
I mean, that 2-week stretch of when I got knocked off my feet and being in the hospital, I came out with gray hair.
There you go. I was
surprised in 2 weeks I get that much gray.
We're going to send him down to Terry's shop and get him a dye job.
There you go, man. I just don't have any to tend with, so it's a lot easier that way.
Yeah.
You can make it any color you want. When they ask hair color, you just tell them whatever you feel like that day.
Throw that wig on here.
Anyway, so other than that, anything you want to talk about, discuss, or go into? Any kind of fishing tricks you can give somebody?
like I say, guys, if you want to head offshore and get you a load of snapper, just be patient. Get out there and find you some good hard bottom. And they're around. I mean, you don't need a whole lot. A lot of these guys, they think they got to have 2 foot vertical rise. A lot of these fish are coming off of 10 inches of vertical rise. You know?
That's what freaked me out when I first learned to fish the Gulf. When we talk ledges, in my mind, I'm thinking the abyss. You know, a 10-foot, 6-foot, 10-foot, 15-foot drop. And, you know, I mean, you're going along and all of a sudden, boom, it just falls off. And that's what I'd be fishing. And literally, like you say, it's 10 inches, a foot, foot and a half drop. And the hard part about it is you don't even mark fish because they're literally in caves. And that 10-inch drop is all honeycombed with caves. And they sit underneath that waiting for bait to come out.
Correct. They're just ambushing, you know.
Always thought when I would go over it, I would see, you know, a big drop, and then I'd mark a bunch of fish. And it's literally not the case. You have to be really paying attention to find those ledges because a 10-inch drop is not that much. So you're going along and you're in 29 feet of water, and all of a sudden it's 30. If you back up and find that change, there's a ledge there.
Usually, that's the way it'll work. And like I say, it's just like yourself. It's hard for a lot of people to fathom that, you know. It's just, it doesn't work in their mind. They come from up north or wherever it may be, and they're used to a 10-foot, 20-foot drop.
Well,
if we found something like that around here, you'd slap your grandma to keep somebody from finding it. So you don't give those things up, those 10-foot.
Yeah, and that's the same thing as trying to explain to them about a pothole in the harbor. You know, well, they go, oh, a hole? Yeah, and they're thinking, oh, yeah, there's a 6, 7, 8, 9 foot deep hole there. No, that's that spot where you got a foot and a half of water laying, you know?
Well,
a little indent in the sand.
4 to 6 inches deeper than the surrounding water.
Yeah.
And that's still 25% of the depth because if you're in 2 feet of water, 6 inches is 25% of that. So it's 25% deeper. So.
Exactly.
Correct.
And in the Gulf, it's just always surprised me because I grew up fishing glacier lakes, you know, lakes cut out from the glacier and all rock.
So did I.
And there was literally drops that were 8, 10, 15, 30, 50 feet. Yep. And very easy to tell. But down here, you have to be more in your game. You've got to pay attention.
Yeah, if you're not watching that machine, you're going to miss the few ledges that you do run over like that, you know?
I would say the biggest mistake people make is looking for fish and not looking for the feature.
Yeah.
And I agree with you 100%. I mean, we're fortunate. We've got myself and another captain on board as well, which is a fifth generation Florida cracker just like myself.
And you got and our families from Louisiana, Dry Tortugas.
And between the two of us, we've got almost 7,000 numbers that zero of them are public numbers, you know. So we fish no public notifications out there. And that's what makes it what it is. It just, you can go beat on these wrecks and everybody knows about. And that's all good. Everybody's got to have a place to go. But that's the good thing about getting on one of our boats is we have stuff that we've been playing for years and years and years. And we keep them kind of private, you know.
I was just reading a quote from Henry Thoreau this morning, and I believe it said, I'd rather sit on a pumpkin and have it to myself than sit on a velvet cushion or crowded velvet cushion. And
there you go.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. I'd rather sit on a pumpkin by myself than on a crowded velvet cushion. And that's kind of the way I feel when I go fishing. So, and it's why we've been friends for 30 years. Anyway, let's talk about, tell me again the name of your charter business and your phone number.
We have Real Action Charters, website being sportfishingplacita.com, and that's 941-628-2348. And if anybody's interested, please give us a call here. We're closing in on the 4th. I will be out of reach the 3rd or 1st and the 2nd. I'm leaving on a 2-day trip. We're going to go fill up these guys' freezer best we can in 2 days.
So,
and then they're headed back to Georgia. So,
give me your phone number one more time.
That's 941-628-2348.
Okay.
And we do have your card here in the shop, right, D?
Yes, you do. Yep. We dropped a few cards in the shop, and we've got new ones on the way. I know the ones there at the shop don't have anything about the offshore side on it, but if you will contact us at that number on that card, we'll be more than welcome to accommodate anything you would like to try to do just about.
All right. Well, I guess we'll let you go. Any last things you want to depart on the world at large?
No, everybody just keep their lines wet and keep their drag screaming, and hopefully we'll see them down the road here, and we can take them for a nice fishing trip on the new boat and send them back home with plenty of fish so they can keep all their company that's getting ready to show up to town.
And
keep them all fat and happy.
And you do a lot of corporate stuff, so if you have a company and employees and you want to take people out and have a great time, give Dwayne a call. He's got a lot of corporate clients that used to dealing with all that. He's not like me. He actually runs a real business. So anyway,
well, I got him pulled anyhow. So,
but it's working.
At least on the overnighters, they do eat well. When the first and second trip, those guys, their menu is going to be fillets and stone crab claws and salad. That'll be their dinner on Tuesday night or Wednesday night. So,
wow.
Everybody eats like kings and fishes like everybody else on this one.
Well, cool.
You're not throwing any rods in the water, though, right?
No, sir. These are all mine.
Oh,
we left that crab on the hill this time.
He only throws yours in the water, Greg. What did you do to Captain Dwayne to get him to throw your rod in water?
I don't know. I think I was taking up too much room on the fly bridge with Warren.
Okay.
Something.
Well, he was brown nosing trying to get some of them numbers up there so he could put them on his buddy's boat, what he was doing.
Oh, man, that's cold.
That really is. But anyway, I can tell by the music, our producer is saying it's about time to go. And thank you all so much for listening. That's Captain Dwayne French on the line with us today and part of our expanding fishing reports. It's Captain Greg in the chair across from me. And this is Fish and Frank. And once again, we appreciate your support and thank you all for listening. Bye-bye.